Good afternoon.
Okay.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Linda Teodosio, and as president of the First Friday Club of Greater Akron, I would like to welcome you to today's program. Before we get started, I would ask that you either turn off or silence your cell phone so that the talk will not be interrupted today. Our topic today is very special. It's one that we look forward to every year. It will be God is Still Speaking, Reflections of Catholic High School Students. At this time, it is my pleasure to introduce Colson Brown and Bridget DeMichael. They're both seventh graders at St. Francis Xavier School, and they will give our invocation.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father of light and wisdom, thank you for giving me a mind that can know and a heart that can love. Help me to keep learning every day of my life, no matter what subject may be. Let me be convinced that all knowledge leads to you, and let me know how to find you and love you in all things you have made.
Encourage me when the studies are difficult and when I am tempted to give up. Enlighten me when my brain is slow, and help me to grasp the truth held out to me. Grant me the grace to put my knowledge to use in building the kingdom of God on earth, so that I may enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. Great job, guys. Beautiful prayer.
Thank you so much for that. At this time, I would like to introduce Carla Bellinger, a board member of the First Friday Club, who will introduce our high school speakers and moderate their discussion. Carla?
Thank you, Linda. Here's how this works. We have four high school students. We have picked a number between 1 and 20 as to who would go first. I will introduce them as I simply say their names. I would ask them to come up and sit in the four chairs up here. And once they're at their four chairs, I would just ask you all to extend a hand of blessing, and we'll ask God's Holy Spirit to touch them. Our first speaker will be Leah Sadinsky from Archbishop Hoban. Our second speaker is Derek Whidden from St. Vincent St. Mary. Our third speaker is Michael Gladstone from Walsh Jesuit. And our fourth speaker will be Renee Dollard from Our Lady of the Elms. If you could take the love, please sit in the way that you're going to be speaking. So, one, two, three, four. And if you would all just extend your right hand over these young people, let's ask God to inspire them today. Holy Spirit, send your spirit and your love upon these young people, that we would be receptive to the words that they have to speak to us, that they would give us a message that resonates in our hearts. Bless the jitters they have inside of themselves, and bless all that they do this day and all days. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Leah Sadinsky is our first speaker from Archbishop Hoban High School. She is the daughter of Bob and Chris Sadinsky, and she has plans to go to Ohio State, or hopes to, when she finishes at Hoban. Leah?
Thank you. A scientist approaches God and says to him, "Look, God, we don't really need you anymore. Nowadays, we can do all sorts of things that used to be considered miraculous. We can transplant organs, we can give new life to a dying man, we can cure almost any disease, and we can even clone animals. It won't be long, and we'll be able to clone humans too. So I'm sorry, but you're just a little outdated." God listens patiently to the scientist and says, "I can see that you believe you don't need me, and I understand. However, I love you, and I don't want to see you make a big mistake. So why don't we just make sure? I say we should have a man-making contest, just to be safe." The scientist replies, "I'll take that challenge." So God says, Okay, let's do it the way I did in the old days, with Adam and Eve. The scientist says, no problem, and reaches down to scoop up a handful of dirt. Whoa, hold on there a minute, says God. You get your own dirt. This story really sticks out to me. It shows us that we really do encounter God everywhere we go, but often forget his presence in the world. We look so hard everywhere we turn to find God in order to encounter him, but we forget that he's even there. When I first heard the topic of today's discussion, I have to be honest, I was really overwhelmed. I didn't know where to begin, or how to even put my relationship with God into words. So I decided I would start off with square one, my first sacraments. In second grade, I received my first communion and first reconciliation, and in the eighth grade, I received my confirmation. At the time, these sacraments seemed so concrete, and I took them at face value. Throughout my years of grade school, my view of God was really static, really flat. And at this point, I thought God was just the big man upstairs who loved me more than I'll ever know and sent his angels to protect me. But I knew there was more than what I heard in the classroom or read in my textbook. I just had yet to experience him. Then I went to high school. Hoban opened a new door for me when it came to my relationship with God. Within 3 years of high school, I had a completely different view of God. God went from the man in the sky to the loving, merciful Father that I know and love today. My Kairos retreat at the beginning of my junior year was really the spark of my flourishing relationship with him. Not only did I attend two Kairos retreats, but I also attended an immersion trip to El Salvador over the past month. Before I left for El Salvador, I was really nervous. I had no clue what to expect. I was going to a Central American country, I didn't speak Spanish, they just finished a civil war 20 years ago, and I didn't have my phone or the normalcies that I usually have here in the United States. They had completely different living conditions, very simple, but with that being said, I lived, I survived, I'm fine. We went for a variety of reasons, and one of the reasons we went was to live in community with the El Salvadoran people. And this really moved me. I heard stories that I read in textbooks, but this time I was able to put names with faces. I was able to hear about how a daughter watched her dad flee to Honduras as their house was burning behind them. We didn't really do much for these people. We didn't build them a house. We didn't give them money. We didn't solve their problems. But we just spent time with them and told them, I care. I care about your experiences. So I think, too, as Jesus is portrayed in the gospel, he doesn't fix people's problems necessarily, or he isn't worried about meeting his college deadlines, but he just spent time with people. And I think that sometimes we ask ourselves the questions, if we don't have immediate results, is it worth doing? And I think the answer is yes, because maybe fixing someone's problems for them or building them a house is not as meaningful as just telling them, I care about what you have to say. Before I went to El Salvador, I had a very distant view of poverty. I just knew it was there, I knew it was in third world countries, and I even knew it was in my backyard, but I really didn't know how to respond to it. So, through this trip, I learned the art of compassion and empathy and solidarity. And through solidarity, I feel that I experience God the most. This trip also opened my eyes to all the injustices that we have in our world. And ever since this trip, I can never go back to the way I was before. And as I mentioned earlier, I attended two Kairos retreats. And this was really the first time that I was able to put the popular catchphrase, don't judge a book by its cover, into action. I was listening to my classmates and empathizing with them, with all the struggles that they have. I saw people in the hallway and I thought I knew them. I thought I knew their story. But it really turns out that I didn't. I didn't know what they had to say about their pains and their struggles. So living in solidarity, not only with the El Salvadoran people, but with people that I know every day, I experience God. And solidarity, to me, isn't just trying to fit in. It's recognizing the differences that you have with someone, but looking past them, and not allowing them to create barriers. So I think that we shouldn't have to go on a retreat or leave the country to live in solidarity with people we see every day. So I guess the only question that remains is, so what? How has this impacted my relationship with God? I can honestly say my relationship with God has grown into something more than the flat and static relationship I had in grade school. I viewed him as such a distant figure in my life, but now I realize he's here living among us. He's here right now through each and every one of us as we continue to live out Jesus' message. With that being said, I feel like my relationship grows each time I interact with someone and live in solidarity with them. In addition to my interactions with people over the past few years or so, I also experience God in the selfless actions I witness every day. One of the easiest examples I can share is the opportunity for my Catholic education that my parents have provided for me. They have sacrificed so much for me, and their selfless acts have helped turn me into the person I am today. And I couldn't be more thankful for my family and the wonderful opportunities they've been able to provide. Every day, they inspire me to make sacrifices and be more selfless, much like our Heavenly Father. Not only am I challenged by God to be a better person, but I'm also challenged by my family, my friends, and my high school. Over the years, I have learned the importance of a Holy Cross education and how to incorporate our Holy Cross values into my everyday life. One of these values that really inspires me is zeal. Zeal is the passion and drive to continue to live out Jesus' message and make God known in our world. It is the desire to respond to the needs of others with love. As I continue on to the next phase of my life, I plan on carrying the Holy Cross value with me everywhere I go, whether it's in the classroom, in service work, or in the workplace. Oftentimes, we think it's difficult to take a moment to recognize God's presence, but in reality, it's easy to see that He is right here in front of us, whether it's in the person sitting next to you or the beautiful earth He has created. It's easy to see God in those special moments, but as we live our everyday life, how can we see God and make time for Him without leaving the country or attending a retreat? So, I invite each and every one of you to join the challenge of allowing ourselves, in our own unique way, to be vulnerable to the presence of God on a daily basis and recognize His presence. Thank you.
Leah, thank you for your zeal. Our second speaker is also, Leah is from St. Matthew's grade school. Our second speaker is also from St. Matthew's grade school. They did seem to know each other when they arrived. Our second speaker representing St. Vincent St. Mary High School is Derek Whidden. Derek is the son of David and Lori Whidden. And I think he said he was interested in Ohio State also, so they'll be still together, maybe, in Columbia. We look forward to a long future, not to embarrass you. But please welcome David Whidden.
Thank you. Where do we experience God's love in our lives? In the first letter of John, it's written, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He has loved us and sent His Son as expiation for our sins." You know, God is present to us every single day of our lives. And you know, we don't see Him, you know, He doesn't come and sit at these luncheons, or He doesn't come visit us in our homes or at school. But He's present to us in different ways, through prayer, through the sacraments. But the most significant way I've experienced God in my life is through other people. Anybody can be a sign of God's love in our lives, from our best friends to people we don't even know. And everybody's first experience with God's love starts with their family. And I'm certainly no exception. I'm blessed to have amazing family in my life that I experience God through every single day. I experience God through my father and the memories that we share of things like my first Ohio State game or the yearly trip we take to Columbus for the boys' basketball tournament every year since I've been in fourth grade. I experience God through my mother, who is always there for my sister and I whenever we are sick or in need or just need a helping hand. And through my sister, who, although we don't always get along, we are always there for each other, always. I experience God through my grandpa and our hour-long conversations about Ohio State athletics and sports in general. I experience God through my two amazing grandmothers, my Grandma Barb, who lives just right up the street and is always there for my sister and I, and my Grandma Dolly, who doesn't live quite as close but is always just a phone call away for my sister and I and always calls to check in on our family. And so, you know, I'm really blessed to have an amazing family that helps me to experience God every single day. And I also feel really lucky to get to go to a school and be involved with a place with such amazing people and amazing friends, some of whom are here today, that show me what God's love is all about every single day. And I think any one of them could tell you, and I'm sure like Leah mentioned, and I'm sure any other students here could tell you, that one of the most significant ways that you experience God as a Catholic high school student in this county is through the Kairos retreat program. Kairos, if you're not familiar with it, is a 3 or 4 day retreat that really focuses on experiencing God in your personal life and then also seeing Christ in the lives of others. And I've learned a lot from having the opportunity to be a Kairos leader at St. Vincent St. Mary. It's taught me a lot. And it's really just a great experience. And I've learned, first thing I've learned is never, like Leah said, never judge a book by its cover. Never to jump to conclusions or judge anybody, because you really never have any idea what somebody's going through in their life. Whether, no matter how familiar you think you are with them or how well you think you know them, you never really know what somebody's going through. Secondly, and I've learned just to always be thankful for the amazing people and everything that I've been blessed with in my life. And one of the sayings that I'm never going to forget that I learned on Kairos was, "What if all you had tomorrow was what you thanked God for today?" So I've really tried to just apply that in my own life and try and experience God through other people. And you know, you never really, like I said, I've just learned to be caring and loving and everything, try to be caring and loving in everything that I do. Because like I said, you never really know what somebody's going through. And you never know when the smallest random act of kindness could actually mean the world to somebody. You never know when you can make a difference in somebody's life by doing the smallest things with the greatest love, as Mother Teresa said. The first letter of John goes on to say, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we must also love one another. No one has ever seen God, yet if we love one another, God remains in us, and His love is brought to perfection in us." So if somebody were to ask me how I experience God's love in my life, I would tell them through other people, through the amazing friends and family that I'm blessed with, and the signs of God's love that I have in my life. I would encourage everybody else to do the same. Be thankful and recognize the signs of God's love that you see in your life, and also to be the sign of God's love in other people's lives, because you never know when the smallest act of random kindness could really go the distance and just mean the world to somebody. And like the saying goes, to love another person is to see the face of God. Thank you.
Our third speaker, representing Walsh Jesuit High School, is Michael Gladstone. Michael is the son of Michael and Mary Gladstone. He went to Holy Family, and I see a lot of Holy Family people here. So please welcome Michael Gladstone.
How is everyone today?
Great.
Good? All right, good. We are very fortunate to live in a community with 4 great Catholic high schools and many other Catholic grade schools. And I would like to thank everyone here for supporting these Catholic high schools and grade schools in this area. And I'd also like to thank Walsh Jesuit for giving me this amazing opportunity and helping to shape me for who I am today. I'd like to thank the Jesuits for being a model of being meant for others and being present here. I am very honored and humbled. So, let us begin with a smile. A smile. A simple expression. Something that comes naturally to us, yet something that we sometimes do not do enough. Walking through the halls of Walsh Jesuit, throughout my day, I see many smiles. I see Father Jack White, for example, his calm, loving demeanor shown through his grin. I see my friends, my fellow students, enjoying times with their friends. I even see my dad, who happens to work at Walsh Jesuit, smile always in full force, demonstrating the love he has for life, the love he has for his students, and the joy in his heart. This simple expression, moving only 42 muscles, can change someone's day and provide an opportunity. It's something that we all have the ability to do, yet sometimes we don't. What I have failed to realize in the past, even now sometimes, is that the people who are smiling are not just giving us a gift. They are also demonstrating the face of Christ. They are showing kindness, compassion, happiness, joy. And this is where I find God in my everyday life. This is where I see God, where I see the face of Christ, who the people I see every day, flashing me a quick smile. And this is where our duty as Catholics comes into play. As Catholics, it is our duty to spread the gift of grace, to show those who are in darkness the door to light, to help our brothers and sisters see God. It is our duty to demonstrate the face of Christ, to simply smile and follow up that smile with compassion and love. I started to truly recognize how magical this expression can be when I traveled to Ecuador about a year ago on March 22, 2013. Several of my classmates and I went with an organization called Rostro de Cristo, which actually means the face of Christ. I stayed in a town called Arbolito, about a half hour outside the major city of Guayaquil. And I was told to go into the experience with an open mind and an open heart. But what I did not expect was the magnitude with which God's presence would fill these open spaces through the people I would grow to love. I went into this experience fully ready to try to make a difference and a lasting imprint in the people's lives I was going to meet. Yet it was the Ecuadorians, my friends, who affected me. They changed me. There was one specific person with whom I grew very close to. I first met him while at an after-school program, picking teams for a soccer game. While my fellow classmates were picking the teams, I locked eyes with a boy about my age. The first thing he did was smile. He managed to smile with all the poverty, all the suffering, and all the adversity that surrounded him to an American he has never even met. I smiled back, my grin only growing bigger and bigger. And when it was my turn to pick, I chose the boy who smiled at me. And this boy's name was Diego Kevin Garcia. Diego and I joked about around between games, catching our breath, talking about life in Ecuador, talking about life in America, about our families, about soccer. And throughout the next week, Diego and I grew quite close. I saw him when we celebrated the Eucharist, for he was an altar boy. I got to see him when we would play soccer at the after-school program. And we even had the honor to go to his house and talk to him and his family. And in the midst of all the poverty that surrounded them, they truly demonstrated the meaning of generosity, faith, love, and optimism. On our last night in Ecuador, we celebrated Mass and waited for him outside the chapel doors to say my goodbye. As he came out, I smiled and went to greet him. We talked for a little. I told him later that night I was leaving back for America. We grew silent. Finally, we said goodbye, his last words being, "Te amo, hermano." I love you, brother. If Diego did not grace me with a smile the first day I met him, I may have never picked him for my soccer team. I may have never talked to him. And I may have never met a friend who will always be in my heart and my memories. This is how important this expression of joy can be. And although I'm not currently making the ministry of presence in Ecuador, there is still so much that I can do. I have to realize that the people I met down there offered me their love, their incredible generosity, and their amazing spirit. If Diego could manage to smile to see the good and the bad around him, then I have absolutely no excuse to hide mine. I have tried to honor Diego and everyone I met there through this expression, my smile, trying to be the face of Christ, to live out the Catholic message of helping our brothers and sisters, to bring light to the darkness. Our smiles being our commitment to live our lives as Christ did, to make the world a more loving, caring, and compassionate place, a symbol, a promise to act and not just say. Smiling. This is how God speaks to and through all of us, His grace radiating from this expression of joy. Smiling is a gift that we all have, a gift that gives us the opportunity to be the face of Christ, to set the world on fire and flame, to be men and women for others. My name is Michael Patrick Gladstone, a child of God, standing before my brothers and sisters, ending this talk as I started, with a smile. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. We can see that God is also smiling. Our first speaker is Renee Dollard, representing Our Lady of the Elms High School. She's a member of St. Basil the Great Parish, and her parents are Michael and Jenny Dollard. Please join me in welcoming Renee Dollard.
For me, the statement "God is still speaking" is hard to believe. At times, it seems as if God totally disappears. However, he always has a habit of popping up again. When and where God chooses to speak is unpredictable. God may speak to me after hours of adoration, or he could be that stranger way in the back of a room. I could be having the kind of day where everything goes right, or the kind of day where everything goes wrong. I may be at a spiritual high or low. God appears in the most unexpected ways and in the most unexpected moments. Recognizing God's presence in these moments is what's difficult. The four pillars of Dominican faith are simple ways in which God speaks. The pillars support our faith because they allow us to recognize God speaking in our lives. The four pillars of Dominican tradition are community, prayer, study, and preaching. The first three pillars allow us to experience God in our lives. Community is the pillar in which we glimpse God through others. The Elms is a very special community. It is a close-knit group of both students and teachers who are able to understand and respect each other despite our differences. As a freshman, I didn't have any friends at school. This fact didn't bother me because everyone at school was friendly, but rather than becoming friends, the people I talked to remained friendly acquaintances. Besides, my daily routine didn't allow time for friends. I would wake up at 5:50 in the morning to get ready for school, then I would go to school, come home, go to dance, finish my homework, and get ready for bed and hit the restart button for the next day. I spent my free mods with my nose stubbornly stuck in a book or binder to study. I would shut the rest of the world out by going to the library or listening to music on my MP3 player. I was essentially a robot. As I entered my sophomore year, I was making preparations to be confirmed. I expected to spend my time in a similar way as last year, except I ended up with a locker next to a girl who was my complete opposite. I was tall and she was below average. I would spend all my time studying and she spent hers laughing. I was reserved and she was an open book. We ended up having the same pre-mods and she would invite me to talk with her and some of the friends she had in the senior class. Gradually, we became friends. My friend's exuberance and openness to others made me realize that I was missing by living my robotic lifestyle. I started to relax more often, and I would spend time talking with others instead of sticking my head in a biology binder that smelled like shark. I started to become more of myself, and I realized that I could still have fun and study. As I began to emerge from my shell, I started attending Friday morning prayer services held by the Faith and Spirituality team at my school FAST. The gatherings weren't always perfect. Technology wouldn't work, and the chapel was often freezing. Yet, a small group of people always gathered together to pray for a few minutes before school. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst." The short time I devoted to prayer most Friday mornings allowed God to be present in my life. The prayer services guided me and kept me grounded as the year progressed and my studies became more difficult. It provided a change in pace from my commonly fast-paced and chaotic day. It helped me to stay focused on what was truly important. I also became very active in youth ministry at my parish. I went on several retreats in which I was able to make a deep connection with God. The connection I felt with God on the retreats was the result of Saturday night. It was the night we went to reconciliation and adoration. It was during this time that I was able to break through the layers of walls I had placed around my heart. And with a clean slate and a repentant and grateful heart, I was able to experience God's love for me. At the same time I was preparing to make my confirmation, I wanted to take my confirmation seriously, so I began to study. First, I began studying the lives of the saints, because I needed to choose a confirmation name. The more I learned about the saints, the more I began to look up to them as role models. I found the lives of the saints inspirational. Each saint was at one point an ordinary sinner who became an extraordinary person by answering God's call. I chose St. Thérèse of Lisieux as my patron saint because of her faith in the small things. I admired St. Thérèse because she sought to praise God in every action of her life, no matter how banal. I remained involved with the youth ministry program at my church by attending Life Nights. Life Nights provided a way for me to learn and participate in my faith. They often involved some sort of junk food, teaching, basic principles of Catholicism, and small group discussion. Speakers would be brought in to explain some of the modern-day social issues in relationship to the church. The talks helped me to understand the church's position on various social issues, which I didn't understand. They also allowed me to discuss my faith openly with my peers. This discussion about my faith between my peers and I made me more comfortable discussing my faith with others. I had a group of Catholic adults who were willing to discuss anything with me, and they helped explain things that were causing me both doubt and confusion. At last, I was confirmed in the spring of my sophomore year. Now, if you've been keeping track, I have one last Dominican pillar to mention: preaching. Preaching calls us to share our experiences and interactions with God with others. As an official adult member of the Catholic Church, I knew I was called to preach. The summer before my junior year, I attended the Dominican Preaching Conference. When I returned to school, I joined FAST and Social Action. I continued to be active in the youth program at my parish. As a member of FAST, I was given the opportunity to write reflections for the Word and Communion prayer services. Through Social Action, I was able to create a positive effect on my community. By continually attending retreats, I became more open, and I was able to share God's love with others. God speaks in multiple ways. He speaks through other people's actions and words, through prayer, and through study of theology. There are individuals and communities who show us God's love by the way they support us, guide us, and care for us. The lives of the saints give witness to God and inspire faith and action. Prayer, adoration, and the sacraments allow us to experience God and His love directly. Study of Scripture and holy writings allow us to come to a fuller understanding of God. In spite of the plethora of ways God speaks to us, God's voice can get muddled in our hectic and fast-paced lives. We often miss God's message because we are too busy to learn about the church, spend time in prayer, or help others in need. God hasn't stopped speaking, but we may have stopped listening. In order to hear God's voice, we must be open to receiving His message, even if it's one we dislike. Once we recognize and accept God's call, we are able to preach. Our lives give witness to God, and our words and actions become ways through which God speaks to others.
Well, thank you so much for your presentation. I'm sure we'll take the zeal that you have for your faith, the love that you have in being the presence of God for others, the smile that you shared with us so generously, as well as the pillars of the faith as we go on through this Lenten season, as the lessons that you have taught us here today. Please join me in again. These four students were phenomenal. At this time, you have the opportunity to ask them some questions. There should be question cards on all the tables as well as some pens. If you have a question that you would like to submit to the students, please write them down on the cards and one of our volunteers will come around to pick them up. If you want to address your question to a particular student, please indicate that as well. While you're doing that, I do have a few announcements. Our next First Friday Club Luncheon will be on Friday, April 11th, 2014. So again, next month, we will be meeting on the second Friday of the month.
The speaker will be Father Clarence Williams, and he is the founder and director of the Institute for Recovery from Racism. His topic is relational dysfunction, getting rid of stinking thinking. So please note again that we will be meeting here at Quaker Square, but we will not be at the Quaker Station. We will be at the ballroom of the hotel, the former hotel building right across the way. There will be shuttles available to help folks get over there from the parking lot on the other side. So I know that the pamphlet says that we will be here. In fact, we will be at the hotel, and there will be signs available to remind you of that. Reservations for all First Friday Club events can be made by sending a check for $15 to the First Friday Club at 795 Russell Avenue in Akron, 44307. The phone number is 330-535-7668. There's more information on our website, www.firstfridayclubofgreaterakron.org, and on your table. We hope that you'll make it to another First Friday meeting sometime in the near future. You can hear a podcast of today's presentation or any of our past presentations that you may have missed by logging into the website under podcasts as well. It would be a good way to share your experience today with others who couldn't be with us. At this time, I also want to recognize all of the students that are here in attendance today. It's certainly wonderful to see so many young people here and able to hear the great discussion that we had today. So I am going to ask that the students from Immaculate Heart of Mary School, St. Hilary, St. Sebastian, Holy Family, St. Matthews, St. Francis Xavier, Archbishop Hobham, Our Lady of the Elms, St. Vincent, St. Mary, and Walsh Jesuit, please stand so that we can recognize you. Thank you so much for being here. In addition, I'm wondering if we have any first-time attendees here today. If we have any first-time attendees, we're going to ask that you stand as well, other than the students. Anybody else other than the students that are attending for the first time? Well, we welcome you as well. Certainly hope you won't be a stranger. Do we have some questions ready? Okay, I'm going to turn it over to Mike, who will ask the questions.
At World Youth Day, Pope Francis encouraged young people to go out into the world and mess things up. What does that mean to you?
Go for it. Anyone, just go.
I think, Pope Francis?
Yeah.
Pope Francis, so when he said mess things up, I think he meant not to necessarily, literally, mess things up, but maybe to go against the normal and try things that you've never tried before in order to maybe just try something different and maybe make a difference that no one has ever tried. And I think that's really important, I think, as growing up as teenagers, that we have our own unique way of doing things and to maybe mess things up in our own unique way, but still keep it civilized, of course.
Just going off what Leah said, I remember learning in class one day about Catholics being called to be in the world but not of the world. Just to be, like Lisa, just be God's light in the world. Like we the song at your, we are the light of the world. Well, we got to, I think what Pope Francis was trying to say was, take that message to heart, be that sign of God's love in the lives of other people. And if that goes against the norm, then it goes against the norm. Then just what we're called to do, to be in the world but not of the world, to be God's light to other people.
So in my Christian social justice class by Miss LaGuardia, there's a quote on his wall by a Jesuit missionary who served in Africa, and it says, "When I serve and feed the poor, I'm praised. But when I ask why they are poor, I'm hackled." So, when we always challenge authority or challenge a social norm, we're often seen as instigators, I guess. But sometimes we have to do that to do the right thing and to follow Christ's message. Thank you.
I guess for me, it just means that we're meant to be noticed. We're not meant to stand at the back of a wall and be a wallflower. Just go out and live God's message, and people will notice.
How do you advise and encourage other young people who struggle in their faith journey through life?
Mix it up a little bit. I'm going to jump up. Who's going first? I'll try Brittany to go first. Start on the other side.
Go. Hi, I'm back up here again. How do we inspire others? A lot of times I don't think we know when we inspire others. I think it's really just through random acts of kindness. And if you're being who you're supposed to be and you're living the life God wants you to live, then you will inspire others. It'll just sort of follow. I know in my life there have been a lot of people who probably don't know how significant the random acts of kindness they show mean to me.
Well, just so you know, everyone always struggles with their faith in God and their relationship with God. I always do. I still do. I know I'm taking a limb here. My dad does, probably. Even the Jesuits, even the priests probably do. So, but you're not alone. And just realize that everyone around you has had a struggle with God, has a struggle with relationship with God. But always know that God's always there, even if you don't know it. So.
Again, just going off what he said, I remember somebody from one of our retreats, they were talking about their struggle with faith, and they said that they felt like God was, they knew that God was a part of their life, but they didn't feel like God was a part of them. So, just like you said, I mean, everybody goes through struggles in faith. God's not always, you're not always going to feel like God's always present to you. When things are going bad, when things don't go the way you want them to, it's easy to blame God and feel like God is the cause of all the problems. But really, you just got to realize that if you turn to God and you give yourself over to God, then He will be the solution to the problem. And so, you know, everybody struggles with their faith at one point or another. So just know that you're not alone, and just remember that God is always there for you, no matter what.
As I mentioned earlier in my talk, I think that we look too hard to find God, that we look past Him. So I would advise anyone, and I'm also struggling with my faith, as we all are, to maybe not look so hard, but just enjoy the simple things that God gives us that we look past and take for granted every day. And I think that's really where God is in our lives, is the simple things, not the luxuries that we have, but when it comes down to it, what it really boils down to, the simple things in life, like our family, like our friends, the basic necessities. I think that's really where we find God, and I think that's, if we're struggling, that's where we should look, so.
What types of interventions do you see that need to occur in the lives of teens struggling with substance addictions?
I get a big stand if you go first.
It's a tough question. I think you just got to rely on your friends. Just realize that people all around you love you, and that's one thing about Kairos, about the Kairos Retreat, which the people up here also talked about. The Kairos Retreat is that you realize that everyone loves you, and so many people love you, and that you don't need to rely on other things to make your life seem worth living, but you have everyone around you to do that. So, yeah.
You know, like I said, I mean, we all go through struggles. We all have struggles in our own lives, whether it be, like I said, substance abuse or whatever you're going through. Like Leah said, I mean, we look so hard to find God in things, and we feel like it's our job to go looking for God, and we have to find God here, and if we're not seeing God in our lives, then we need to try harder. But really, it's actually the reverse. God wants to be a part of your life. God wants to find you. So I think really, when you're going through a time like that, if you're going through a struggle like that, let God find you. You don't have to go out and try and find God and find God in anything that you think you might need. You let God find you, because that's really what God wants. And if you allow that to happen, then God will be with you.
I guess I would say just be bold. I mean, you really do have to speak to someone directly who's in that situation, and they're not always going to listen, and they probably aren't going to like you very much anymore if you do, but it's needed, and hopefully eventually they'll come around. So, yeah.
Sometimes I think when people are struggling with substance abuse, they feel alone. And they look towards a certain substance to not feel alone, to feel like something's there making them go forward. And I think that if you realize that God is there always with you, again, if we're looking so hard to find him, but he's really just right there in front of us, I think if we just realize that we're not alone between our family, our friends, and God is there with us, that the substance necessarily isn't really necessary, but just to go back to the basics again.
A two-parter. The first one's pretty easy. What do each of you plan to study in college? That's the easy part. The next one, especially to the other young folks here from the elementary schools, what advice do you give to 7th or 8th graders today about their future high school experience, but their future high school experiences, knowing what you know now?
All right, well, to answer the first part, I am still deciding between the Ohio State University and the University of Pittsburgh to continue my education, and I'm planning on studying pre-law political science. But to answer your question, I mean, you have four ladies, you have four great high schools. Guys, you have three, all the Catholic high schools in this county are amazing. You're not going to go wrong wherever you go. But wherever you do go, my advice would be to get involved right away. Get involved with different clubs and activities and sports and extracurriculars, because that's how you're going to meet people. Even if you're going to a high school like I did, where you don't know anybody when you're pretty much anybody when you're going in, and all your friends are going to a different high school, you know, get involved. That's how you're going to make new friends. So just start off right from the get-go, getting involved. And like I said, you can't go wrong wherever you go here. So, thank you.
I'm planning on going to the Ohio State University next year to be a Buckeye. Couldn't be more excited. I'm deciding between athletic training and exercise science to pursue physical therapy. So hopefully everything works out for me, fingers crossed. But any advice that I would have for kids in grade school right now is, like Derek said, the greatest thing to do is get involved. Surprise yourself. Take risks and do something that you wouldn't normally do. There have been plenty of times over my 4 years that I just decided, why not? There's nothing to lose. And there really isn't. So join clubs, try something new, make new friends, talk to people you don't think you would normally talk to. And the benefits are endless. And I think that you'll hear a lot of us say that. So we're not lying when we say it. We're not. So, yeah, really, get involved. It's the greatest way.
I plan on attending Xavier University in the fall, and I'm going to undecided, but I've been thinking about international studies, so that's that. And then the second part, I would just be yourself. That's the one way that you have a great high school experience, is just being yourself, not trying to be someone you're not, not trying to impress other people, because when you're yourself, you're going to have the most fun in your high school, because high school is a great time. Especially when you are who you are, and definitely try new things. Don't be afraid to talk to new people. Get out of your comfort zone, it'll help you mature and grow, and again, meet new people. So, yeah.
Hi, I'm undecided about my college, but I would like to go and study ecology or environmental biology. My words to the 7th and 8th graders: don't be scared. Because if you're scared, I mean, everyone else is in the exact same situation. You're all looking around being like, if I do this, will people judge me? And if I do that, like, oh, they're going to think this. Everyone's in the exact same situation. Everyone's scared. So just don't be. Or even if you are, just do what you, not do what you want, but, yeah, get involved.
I want to once again thank the students. It really is challenging to get up here and answer questions when you don't have the opportunity to prepare. And the one thing I was so impressed with today was the depth and the meaning of the discussions, but even more so with the firmness of the faith that was exhibited by the answers to the questions that were really given at the spur of the moment, not having some time to really reflect and prepare. So that really tells us the depth of the character of these four students. And I know that I speak on behalf of everyone here in wishing them well as they continue their education at the place of their choosing. And please join me again in thanking them for the wonderful presentation. At this time, I would like to introduce Tessa DeFrancesco and Nina Drake, both of St. Matthew's School, who are going to lead us in our closing prayer today.
God, Heavenly Father, look upon me and hear my prayer during this holy season of Lent. By the good works you inspire, help me to discipline my body and to be renewed in spirit. Without you, I can do nothing. By your Spirit, help me to know what is right and to be eager in doing your will. Teach me to find new life through penance. Keep me from sin and help me live by your commandment of love. God of love, bring me back to you. Send my spirit to make me strong in faith and active in good works. May my acts of penance bring me your forgiveness, open my heart to your love, and prepare me for the coming feast of the resurrection of Jesus. Lord, during this Lenten season, nourish me in your word of life and make me one with you in love and prayer.
Fill my heart with your love and keep me faithful to the gospel of Christ. Give me the grace to rise above my human weakness. Give me new life by your sacraments, especially the Mass. Father, our source of life, I reach out with joy to grasp your hand. Let me walk more readily in your ways. Guide me in your gentle mercy, for left to myself I cannot do your will. Father of love, source of all blessings, help me to pass from my old life of sin to the new life of grace. I ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you, in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Amen.
Amen.
All right, that concludes our program for today. Thank you so much for being in attendance. We hope to see you at another First Friday program in the near future.